Hey guys, it's Adam of the Dollar Ben. I just wanted to do a little intro first to make the news announcement that Rob Young, the brains behind and owner of the Greenville Comic Con, has recently purchased Borderlands Comics and Collectibles in Greenville, South Carolina, off of Lawrence Road. I wanted to congratulate Rob and wish him the best. Also, just kind of give a little rundown, Borderlands is a comics and collectibles, meaning they also do the gaming. They've got the miniatures, the Heroes Clicks, whatever else may, Warhammer is trendy and hot these days on the gaming world. And just kind of congratulate Rob and tell everybody that I think he's going to do a great job, and I recommend giving him a chance. Check him out. Let's see what he brings to the industry. He's been floating around in comics for quite a few years now. Worked at Heroes Aren't Hard to Find for quite a while back in the day. Was the manager over at Planet Comics in Anderson. Rob's got a lot to bring to the table. And just want to congratulate him. Also, I want to go ahead and mention that I'm tired of all of our shows starting with, "Hey guys, this is Adam of the Dollar Band." So 2011 is going to be the year of the intro. I'm gonna finally create some sort of corny Dollar Bin intro music thing or something. I don't know. We'll see what happens. But we used to have the Chris Black intro. That was pretty cool. It was a little boring, but at least it was solid, you know? So I wanted to warm you guys up to the uneditedness of this upcoming show. I'm gonna go ahead and introduce the person I'll be speaking with. And for those of you who don't remember him, Flacco was one of the creators of the Dollar Ben, and you know, I'll get into that in a minute. So just enjoy the show. Welcome to 2011. Hope you had a great New Year's and all that stuff. And here's the Dollar Ben.
Yeah, I mean,
let me just do this real quick. So hey, this is Adam of the Dollar Ben. I am here, just kind of doing a little pre-recording because tomorrow we're gonna Monday we're gonna record a pretty big awesome show. And right now I'm sitting here with Dollar Bin founder, one of the founders of the Dollar Bin, Flacco.
You're welcome. You're all welcome.
And Flacco and I have actually been pretty passionately talking comics for like the last hour.
And not recording it.
And not recording any of it. So we decided to go ahead and sit down and start talking. Of course, we'll lose all of our passion now that we're sitting in front of mics.
Right. Yeah, I'm scared. I'm blowing it. I'm freezing. I don't know what to say.
But we were just we've been talking about a lot of things. We were just talking about the whole killing off characters that either like it's this weird balance because we're talking about killing off characters, but we're complaining about a couple different things. One, we complained about like how they killed off Nightcrawler and how there's all these B characters that don't matter. Why kill off Nightcrawler? On the other hand, remember when we all read Civil War and they killed off Black Goliath, and we were like, who the fuck cares if you kill off Black Goliath? I mean, there's the flip side, right?
Yeah, no, that's legit. But I was saying that, you know, I think killing a character like Nightcrawler is like, it's not that, I get that it matters to me that Nightcrawler died. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's, you know, that's what they wanted. You know, they wanted, like, you know, emotional, like, you know, response. You know, they wanted to do something that mattered to people, you know? But that character specifically is, you know, such a like embodiment of the whole, you know, kind of overall theme of the X-Men, you know, prejudice, judging a book by its cover, you know, kind of stuff. That I'm not suggesting that there are like better characters. No, fucking, you know, I am suggesting that there are tons of characters. They could have killed 30 characters. You know what I'm saying? And like everything would have been just fine. You know, everything would have been great. And like, you know, why would you get why do you oh my god, dude, I'm so frustrated. Just, you know, because here's the thing, you know, we're talking about the idea of these comic book characters being like a part of mythology, you know what I mean? Yeah. And this mythology is going to go on past the people that are here writing it now, and it's going to go past the fucking editors that are here. So at some point Nightcrawler is going to come back, but right now we have to go through the motions. I you know, when Colossus died and that stupid fucking jackoff Chris Claremont fucking killed him in a terrible story, which was totally awful and like didn't make any sense and was just disgusting, okay? Like to me, you know, when he returned, you know, in the Joss Whedon Astonishing X-Men, like I was like like it felt like that was a gift to me.
Yeah, that
like,
was that a, was like more emotional personal, than his
like,
death.
Like, hey, Flacco, turn the page. hey, you see, somebody has come along and understands that, like, these characters, that this is a great character that belongs, like, with these, you know what I mean? Like, we need to make All in the Family a little, you know, a little better. Let's start killing Archie, you know what I mean? Let's kill Archie and Meathead and see what happens. You know what I mean? Like, not those characters, you fucking idiots. These are the ones we're buying the books for, you know? Like, that's crazy to me, you know? And it's just... And it's not that I don't want, you know, there to be drama and stuff like that, but it's comics. It's mythology. You know, these characters are good. Like, Nightcrawler's coming back. I got news for the world. You know what I mean? Nightcrawler will be back because, you know, someone's going to realize that this character is, you know, totally integral to, like, the lore of, like, the X-Men and, you know, totally should be, man, and should get his props and, you know, shouldn't die with a fucking arm through his chest.
They also killed him in X-Force. Like,
I don't have a problem with X-Force. I know a lot of people do, but you know, I never had a problem with X-Force. I actually thought I thought it was a really great like concept. You know, I don't necessarily think that I
like the new X-Force when they got put back together and they were like the killing force of the X-Men.
Right. Yeah.
Like
they were.
They
were secret murderers. Yeah. You know, like kind of you know dispatched. You know, like you know. They had a reason for existing, you know, and you know, I liked the X-Force. I'm not the biggest fan of the Clayton Crane stuff. Like I like him. I think he's great. But I really loved it when Mike Choi was drawing the X-Force. I really like anything Mike Choi does. That guy is incredible. He's fantastic. I'll read anything that guy draws. So I wish more stuff like that. Have you read the new X-Force stuff?
I read the first issue of the new X-Force, and then I just kind of stopped.
Oh, dude. Jerome Opeña.
I'm not reading any Marvel, really.
Jerome Opeña is just, he is unbelievable, man. He is such a great artist, dude. And Rick Remender, you know, I don't have too much, you know, experience with him. You know, I know he did Fury Agent, never read that. I know he did a Dr. Voodoo miniseries, which
Ghost
I think
Rider.
I did, like, I read, like, one or two issues. You know, whatever. But I think the storyline is fantastic, you know what I mean? Like so far, it's, like, really intriguing. You know, like, they still have a reason for existing, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's a really good book. I was shocked. I think it was like the number one book at Marvel. You know what I mean? Like I you know, like a huge surprise. But Wolverine, Deadpool. You know what I mean? In like a book, and it's the number one book at Marvel. But you know, but I think there's a lot more. Like you know, there's a lot more going on there than like this is just like a book. You know what I mean? To like to make you know a bunch of money. You know.
Yeah.
And I'm not the biggest fan of the Deadpool character anyway. So like kind of having him. But I tell you who I am a huge fan of is fucking Phantom X. Thank you God for bringing back Phantom X. Like what is wrong with you people? You know what I mean? Like. It's oh god, like that's such a great character. I can't believe that character gets like tossed aside, like you know, like he was nothing. Like one of the greatest contributions of like Grant Morrison's run, you know, which you know, don't ask me why Marvel Comics has decided to like just kind of sweep all that stuff under the rug. Like that should never happen, but you know, whatever, that's fine. It's their you know, it's their comics for now. But you know, I mean, that's part of the thing though. It's not necessarily just their comics, you know.
Yeah,
and you know, I don't you know, I don't mean to sound like too incredibly negative. You know, I know that we were talking about this earlier. You know, but you know, about comics because I feel like I'm negative. I feel like I'm passionate. I feel like I'm just as passionate about the stuff that I love as I am about, you know, the stuff that I hate. And I think that, you know, as a comic book reader, like I don't read comic books and then put them back on the shelf and walk out the store. Like I buy comic books, you know what I mean? Like I put money into this industry, you know, I put my money where my mouth is. And the reason I have like strong opinions on this stuff is because I'm fucking paying for it. You know what I mean? And like, I'm not just going to sit here and just like, you know, tell everyone that, you know, J. Michael Straczynski's Earth One is a piece of garbage crap that no one should ever buy. And I can't believe they charge $20 for that fucking turd of a book. You know what I mean? And have never read it. Like I pay $20 for it. Yeah. I can say this shit, you know what I mean? Like, we all can, you know what I mean? I think that's, like, one of the coolest things about, like, you know, shows like this and stuff like that is, like, we matter, you know? Hey, guess what? You know what I mean? Like, we fucking matter, you know? Like my opinions, you know, like I got something to say, you know? And you know, I'm motherfucking paid for this opinion, you know? So, you know, positive or negative, you know, I think it's just really cool that we get to, you know, speak our minds about like, stuff that we're all like super passionate about, you know, really like seeing like cool, like pockets of stuff where it's like, encouraged, you know, I think a lot of people the only time they ever really get to talk about comics is when they go to the comic shop, you know what I mean? And that's pretty much it. And they don't have like anybody, you know, they don't get to like marry like people who put on conventions and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like,
it's really not all of us that lucky. Like, I was like, look at it's like when we started this, the podcast,
is you, me, and Chris, and then Brian.
Who? Who's the third guy?
Chris.
Chris.
Chris Black.
Not ringing a bell. No. Sorry.
So when we started this, the whole idea was Dollar Bin, ground level. You know, our opinions matter. We're buying the shit. And I gotta say, it's kind of weird as I sit here and talk to you now, because like I can definitely see where we've been missing you a lot. But a lot of it, I think, is because we, especially myself, like you mentioned, getting married to Sean and all, I've really kind of melded into the industry a little bit. Like, right. I know a lot of these guys. Like, before, when we started this, you know, like, okay, I went on my fucking rave in the beginning about how Matt Fraction couldn't write worth a shit, and his dialogue was terrible.
Right. Like, he's like Robert Kirkman bad.
Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. But, like, I fucking know Matt Fraction now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I talk to him, and it's just like, it's fucking harder now.
Sure.
Like, if
sure.
I read something,
yeah.
Now, I think he's gotten better. And I've read his independent stuff, and it's mind-blowing how different his independent stuff, which was before his Marvel stuff, is from his early Marvel stuff. I think he's gotten better. His dialogue's better. I never had a problem with his stories, I don't think. It was the dialogue I always had issue with.
Right.
But I think it's gotten better. But I don't know. Maybe that's because I know Matt now.
No, I don't know. I had kind of issues with Matt Fraction, where I was kind of like, you know, I think some of the first earlier stuff I read was like The Order, which was
I like The Order. I liked it a lot.
I did not.
And that was before I met him.
I hated it.
That was before I met him.
I thought The Order was awful, and I was just like, I don't know why anyone's making a big deal. But I think it was when he started writing Iron Man, I was just kind of like, holy shit. You know, yeah. Like, this guy just all of a sudden picked up. And then,
dude, his Thors are amazing.
And yeah, dude, you know, like I think Matt Fraction is an elite level writer now. You know what I'm saying? I think mm-hmm. he's like Ed Brubaker, Bendis. You know what I mean? Like you know, like I say yeah. that as strictly as a fan of comics. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I don't know that dude, you know, from Dick, but like, you know, I know that I didn't really like, you know, believe in him at first. And yeah. now I trust that he's like an artist that like, mm-hmm. you know, if his name's attached to something, you know, it's worth checking out.
At
because,
least
you know, he's, yeah. Yeah, you know, cause he's, you know, he's one of, you know, the better writers in comics, you know, especially like superhero comics right. specifically, you know, yeah. Guys that are you know, writers
feel,
as a
I feel
as
a lot better
job.
About that now.
But no, I think Fraction's yeah. like elite, dude. You know what I mean? I think Fraction's like up there now, you know.
Now.
I think he earned that. And by the way, so is Jonathan Hickman, who is writing two of the best books that Marvel is like publishing. And I don't like that guy's another guy that, you know, like when I first started reading his stuff, I was like, hey, he's all right. You know, he's okay, you know. Yeah. And then all of a sudden it's just like these guys just like it's like something clicks, something turns on, man. You know what I mean? It's just like, you know, like holy shit, I had no idea that you were born to write the Fantastic Four. You know what I mean? I had no idea that you are like able to create yeah. a secret mythology of the Marvel universe in like, you know, using SHIELD and dude, did you know that one of the coolest superheroes in the Marvel universe is Leonardo da Vinci? Did you have any idea that? I didn't either. That's fucking awesome, dude. You know, like just you know, that just on the subject of guys that like
no, yeah,
gotten,
I mean,
like,
and Hickman's another one. I mean, like when we first started doing the show, I was reading Nightly News. That
right,
was the
yeah,
book Hickman
which I thought,
out.
Which I thought was like totally like you know like it's a little art faggy. You know what I mean? A little like graphic designy kind yeah. of you know whatever you know. And
well, and that's the thing. Now he's basically, and I'm trying to remember what it is, but he wanted to be a writer and he had no artist and he was a graphic designer, so he did his own books. And he made them all graphic designy. And now that he's in the Marvel U, he doesn't have to do his own art. He can just focus on writing. And I think that's really what opened it up for him.
Yeah, he is great. He is elite. Jonathan Hickman is elite, yeah. you know. Still can't get into Secret Warriors as much, but but I also haven't like fall the other way. Also, yeah. every character in Secret Warriors is totally boring to me.
It's
I don't know if you're
away.
Listening to Jonathan Hickman, but I think
it's
there's not like
anyway.
One single like cool character in
I think
that
he's
book
right.
except
is
for like
he,
Nick
is
Fury.
Is John Hickman
Sorry.
Writing Secret Warriors? Yeah, he was writing that, right? Secret
what's,
Warriors.
What's that?
Yeah, he is one of the he
yeah,
was
yeah, 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 yeah. The bad guys are cool. I think the bad yeah. guys are cool, you know.
The funny thing is, like with John Hickman, is I read his Image stuff, and I kind of lost interest. Like okay, I read Nightly News, and then he had like Red Mass of Mars, and I kind of read the first issue of that, and then Transhuman. I read like that, and I kind of read the first issue of that, and then he started writing for Marvel, and at that point, I was already kind of drifting away from Marvel as a reader. So I don't know that I ever. People say great things about John Hickman's Fantastic Four. And you know, I think he's doing the Ultimate Thor now too, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I read the first issue of that, and it's good. And I mean, he's got a depth and a knowledge to his writing that's not just like handed to you. He doesn't spoon feed anything.
Yeah.
And I think that's even what I said about his older stuff. I think he's always written to a person who wants to expand their mind a little and not just kind of read an adventure.
Yeah. No, I mean, it seems like he understands how to make, you know, the books that he's working on, you know, work. And then, you know, specifically Fantastic Four and S.H.I.E.L.D. are like totally different books, but there's a few ideas that are sort of shared, like very subtly and stuff like that. You know what I mean? But everything's sort of like, you know, there's a much bigger tapestry going on here. And this guy was following the Mark Miller, Brian Hitch run, which, you know, at the time, I mean, I couldn't remember a run on the Fantastic Four besides, you know, Stan Lee and Jack Kirby that, you know, anyone really, you know, I apologize. You know, obviously there's been stuff.
Skipped in
the
middle. Yeah,
you know, John Byrne had a, you know, very important run in the 80s and stuff like that. And I actually had a personal little, like, Scott Lobdell and Alan Davis had a little run on it. I think right after, like, the Heroes Reborn stuff that I thought was, like, super really good. It went, like, 3 or 4 issues, but I thought it was super fun. And I think Alan Davis is just, like, amazing, really, really great. But to kind of come after those two guys, you know, I mean, don't get me wrong, they definitely shit the bed at the end, and then, like, you know, like, obviously didn't give a fuck about how that Fantastic Four storyline ended. But one of the things that I do appreciate about both Miller and Hickman is that they understand. I'm gonna throw something out there to the world of comics. And if you don't agree with this, you're wrong and dumb. The single greatest superhero in the Marvel Universe, and I'm not talking about, like, popularity-wise, you know, I'm talking about, like, the most important character in the Marvel Universe, you know what I mean, is it's Mr. Fantastic. It's Reed Richards. He is the guy that everyone comes to all the time. He's the smartest. He's, like, he should be, you know what I mean, Miller's Reed Richards was almost like a rock star, almost like he was, like, appreciate, you know what I'm saying? Like, he was, like, the most pop, you know, when everyone else failed, you know, like, Mr. Fantastic was there to, like, you know, fix everything and stuff like that. And Hickman kind of came in, like, his first storyline, which was about, like, how important Reed Richards is, you know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, just had a really, you know, and so, you know, that's, you know, I think Mr. Fantastic should be, you know, like, way more, you know, like, I hate nerdy 50 scientist, you know, kooky uncle Mr. Fantastic. You know what I mean? Like, that guy doesn't, like, appeal to me, but, like, you know, like world exploring, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, this guy just, you know, it's thirsting for, like, you know, knowledge and you know, and he loves, you know, wants the potential of the world to, like, you know, like be, you know, like, wide open and great, you know. I know it's sort of weird, like, jump, but it's like at the end of Planetary, if you don't know how Planetary ended,
we did
stop listening right now. Okay, cool. But one of my favorite things about Planetary is in the last issue, they release to the public all these technology that the Fantastic Four of Planetary had to the public. So everything gets cured, flying cars start, you know what I mean? Like, like the world opens up because of these, you know, these characters, you know what I'm saying? And, like, you know, they're never going to do that, like, in Marvel. Cause, like, you know, you don't want to read about, you know, a world that means nothing to you. It's all flying cars and no cancer. And, you know what I mean? Like, shit like that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so I understand why they don't do it, you know, but, you know, I think those are really, like, cool, like, big kind of questions to ask, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think, like, I'm glad that Planetary was, like, you know, no, fuck it, they saved the world. Like, that's all that stuff, like, yeah, no, the world's completely different now. Yeah, because it's better because of, like, you know, these people and what they do and the sort of history of the world. Yay, Jonathan Hickman!
Well, In our catching up with Flacco over the last couple of years, and again, like I said, like, I really, sitting here talking to you, I really realized how much we kind of missed you in the lineup. And one of the biggest reasons that is because you and I were talking earlier, and you were talking, speaking your disdain toward a writer who is probably, if you've listened to the Dollar Bin for the last few years, it's probably the writer that gets the most props from the Dollar Bin. Jesus, and you spoke great disdain toward him.
I know.
And that's that balance that I miss, man. I miss that balance.
My God.
God. You want to talk a little bit about that real quick? We'll go back to something good after this.
Okay, cool. You know, there's about to be some negativity coming here. But I can't stand Robert Kirkman. Like, I cannot stand Robert Kirkman. I've tried, and this is where I'm going back to, you know, my point that, you know, I don't say that I don't like Robert Kirkman because I read one or two of his books and I thought, you know, they weren't that good or whatever. You know, like, I have read a ton of Robert Kirkman. I'm not saying I've been forced, you know what I'm saying, but people were just like, no, you got to read this, you got to read this, you got to read this. And I've read volumes of stuff, you know, I've read volumes of The Walking Dead, and I read volumes of Invincible, you know, and, you know, I cannot stand him. I think his characters, like, never say anything that sounds like a real person would say. I think every issue people just, like, waste time, like, recapping what happened last issue, even though they were there and they're talking to another person that was also there, you know. I think his characters just don't shut the fuck up ever. I think he just, like, just he's so wordy and annoying, you know what I mean? And I think, you know, I think the Walking Dead is, like, supposed to be, you know, look, man, I'm sorry, dude, but you know, zombies are popular, you know, and the Walking Dead isn't it the only ongoing, like, zombie book that you know what I mean? So, like, is that really that groundbreaking of an idea, you know, like, oh, this is the zombie story that won't end. So it's like, okay, well, now I have to hang out with all these characters that, like, I can't stand listening to or being around or, you know, or watching them, you know. Like Charlie Adler, you know, I'm a big fan of that guy, but, you know, and it's like Invincible's the same way, man. I have tried to read Invincible, you know what I mean? Like, tried to, and it was just, like, so terrible. And, you know, everyone just says how they're feeling, like, out loud, you know what I mean? Like, who the fuck does that? I'm just reading it, and, you know, and I listen to these characters, you know, and this character sort of, like, maturing, you know, like, in a conversation that he's having with this, like, government agent, you know, and it's like, they just relaunched Invincible, like, not too long ago, you know, and, like, put him back in his, you know, in his, like, old costume or whatever, and, you know, and he's like, oh, he comes from a world, you know, of superhero guys that all have mustaches, you know, haha, isn't that fun? Isn't that just, like, you know what I mean? It's like, no, it's not fun. It's not fun. And you know what? Guardians of the Globe is fucking gay and retarded, and the fact that you had to change it to Guarding the Globe makes me happy, because I hope it ruined a whole bunch of stuff for the Robert Kirkman universe. I mean, look at The Astonishing Wolfman. That guy gets to put out a book called The Astonishing Wolfman. You know why that book got canceled and isn't around anymore? Because it fucking sucks, man, because it's fucking terrible. I have no idea what it is that people are looking at on the same page that I'm looking at. I have no idea what it is that they're reading, because it's the same words, and they're going, wow, that's really good. I am intrigued and want to know more about this character and how they feel, you know? And I read the same thing and I'm just like, you're horrible, and this is horrible, and how the fuck are people liking this? Like, I don't understand this at all. It's the same thing with the fucking show. By the way, the show is completely and utterly awful, and I don't care if you're a fan of the comic. If you're not a fan of the comic, I don't care. If you're a fan of television, then the show is fucking terrible. It's so awful. Like, everybody is like, you know, I'm sorry, like, it's, you know, I know it's not specifically Robert Kirkman, you know, that's kind of, but fucking Frank Darabont, he was in charge of the Shawshank Redemption, you know what I mean? Like, that guy's got fucking, like, street fucking cred, you know what I mean? And, like, for him to, like, come in and just steal this show is, like, you know, it's like the bad guys are, like, couldn't be more bad. Like, I'm racist Merle, you know, N-bomb, you know, do you think I should be hated? Possibly, maybe, you know, like, oh, I'm Merle's brother, I'm also a total dick, you know what I mean? Like, and then there's some asshole who's like, oh, I'm fucking, you know, my wife is gonna, you know, wash my laundry when I tell her to, you know, like a zombie apocalypse, you know what I mean? Like, there's just ridiculous, like, everything is so cliche, everything is so, like just so easy, you know. It's like, the, you know, the there's you know, the best friend, you know, has been hooking up with the lead character's wife, and he comes back, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, and the guy's just been such a douche the whole time. It's like, clearly this guy is, like, becoming, like, evil, you know. But, like, how much more compelling would it be if that guy wasn't a douche? How much more compelling would it be if, like, he didn't try to, like, rape the lady in the last fucking episode, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, to me, you know, it's fine, because I hate The Walking Dead anyway. Also, if anyone's listening, if you think that the Center for Disease Controls in Atlanta, Georgia has a self-destruct button, you are a fucking retard. That shit is so dumb. What a retarded way to end that fucking, like, series. Like, hopefully it's gone forever, but I saw on Entertainment, but it's like, I look on a cover of Entertainment Weekly, and it's like, the best new show on television, and it's Walking Dead. I was like, are you insane? Like, what the fuck, man? People just want to see stuff about zombies? Is that it? It's gotta be zombies. It's gotta be zombies, because there's so little else there. There's not a character on that show that's, like, worth, like, being around or listening to or talking to, and you're so, you know, why are you holding your dead zombie sister in your hand? It's like a virus. You're going to blow her brains out like 2 inches away from your face. Use your fucking head, man. It's a zombie apocalypse, people. Like, come the fuck on, man. Like, I know that's like nitpicky, man, but it's just, it's I don't understand. I don't see what people see in it. I don't understand what people like get out of it. You know what I mean? Especially, you know, and you know, there are writers out there that I think fucking are like brilliant. You know what I mean? And they don't get anywhere near the fucking play that like Robert Kirkman does. I think I see like The Walking Dead like constantly on like the top 10, you know, like the number one, you know, volume one is like number one graphic novel being sold, or trade paperback being sold, you know, like constantly. And you know what I mean? Just people just, oh, you read The Walking Dead? You know what I mean? It's just like, yeah, I've read the fucking Walking Dead. And guess what? It sucks fucking balls. Now what? Now what? What else? What do we have to talk about now? What else do you read? What other comics do you fucking read? You know what I mean? Like, what? Nothing? You just saw this stupid TV show and you bought this dumb thing and that makes it good, man? No. There's a million fucking great comics out there. Anybody ever read The Crossed? Anybody wants to read a good fucking zombie comic? Read The Crossed. Garth Ennis writes that. You know who Garth Ennis is? He's the guy that wrote Preacher, which is a great comic. He's the guy that writes amazing shit. The best Punisher max run in the history of the world, man. When that book was coming out, it was the best book that Marvel published. It was crazy. And it's just like, Robert Kirkman, dude, you shouldn't be allowed to fucking be in the same room with these guys. You shouldn't be selling these books like by the billions when the shit that you write is just like fucking like terrible, like junior college, you know what I mean? Like fucking, you know, it's almost like you can see the mechanics of, well, I have to move the plot forward doing this, so, you know, I'll just have these two characters having this conversation. Oh my god, dude, I you know, nothing. None of his books, none of his premises, none of his characters, none of his dialogue, none of his stories, nothing. I just cannot stand Robert Kirk. I cannot stand anything about Robert Kirkman. And listen here, Robert Kirkman, if you're listening, I paid for all that shit. Okay, I put money in your pocket. You know what I mean? And I'll never read your shit again because you have ripped me off, man. You and your terrible fucking writing have like ripped me off, and I paid good money for that shit. And I just cannot stand Robert Kirkman. Do not understand why people like Robert Kirkman. Apologize for the negativity there, but it's just crazy to me. It's just crazy to me that Kirkman like runs Image Comics. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on.
Oh, really? He stepped down.
Oh, did he? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, maybe he'll have more time for Astonishing Wolfman then. You know,
Astonishing Wolfman.
Oh, but, did it? Oh, huge surprise.
Well, a couple of things I just want to add to that. the one is I do enjoy Invincible and Walking Dead. Now I buy Walking Dead monthly. Invincible, I borrow, and then I have the Ultimate Collection editions. Yeah. Okay. The reason that I buy Invincible. I enjoy reading Walking Dead monthly. Invincible, I don't think I can do an issue at a time. Like, the last time I borrowed a big clump of Invincible, I was like, eh, you know, whatever. And then I borrowed another section because everybody was like, I want to talk about Invincible. So I borrowed it. And I like that more. So you know, I'm not a Kirkmanite or whatever, a Kirkman zombie or whatever the fuck they are. Because I fucking
names.
I don't know. Lord. I'm making shit up.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know.
I have no idea.
I thought this was legit. I thought you were busting.
No, fucking god. I fucking hated Marvel Zombies. I thought it was terrible, god awful dribble.
Yes, it is.
Astonishing Wolfman. That's what it is called, right? Astonishing.
Yeah, I think so.
I haven't. I've read a few issues of it, and I thought it was fun. But I haven't actually hunted it down. Now, I know some of our listeners and some of our contributors love Astonishing Wolfman, so you just villainize yourself there. So
you're wrong for loving it. There are so many better books out there that you're wasting your time on that book. So many better books. Are you reading Orkstein? Because if you're reading that book and you're not reading Orkstein, that, oh, I'm sorry.
Please go ahead.
And then Walking Dead, the TV series, has been renewed for season 2.
Boy.
And it is the highest viewed independent TV show ever, like over like Mad Men and all that stuff. So
right, yeah, yeah,
we're gonna be seeing a lot more of that,
trust
I'm guessing.
Me. I don't mind being in the minority, you know what I mean, about this kind of stuff. I am often, you know, but you know, I mean, but that's, you know, that's, yeah, that's a great thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not here to like I'm not trying to ruin Robert Kirkman for anyone. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to like ruin, you know what I mean, like fucking, you know, like you know, I'm not trying to destroy the things that people love, you know, for the sake of like destroying it. You know, like I just, I feel like, you know, I feel strongly about it. You know, I feel like, you know, we pay hard-earned money for this stuff, you know, and I feel like,
I mean, a lot of people feel like they're getting their money's worth.
That's cool. That's cool. I mean, I just think, you know, and that's, you know, ultimately that's ultimately all that we want. You know what I mean? Yeah. If it's getting people into comics, then that's great. That's terrific. You know, I'm just saying that there's like gems out there. You know what I mean? There are like, you know, there's stuff that's like, you know, the pinnacle of our, you know, of this art form, of the medium itself, you know, that, you know, and I think that, you know, of course, you know, it's going to get, you know, you know, there's all kinds of issues that get caught up and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, like, to me, you know, Robert Kirkman is like middle of the road at best. And like, just kind of like, you know, he's sort of like, you know, a shitty opening band. You know what I mean? Like when Robert Kirkman plays, I'm going to go outside and drink a beer. You know what I mean? And then I'll come back in when someone good is on, you know, but
the Walking Dead TV show. Now I've voiced my opinion and my opposition to everybody else I talk to on our forum and everything. I basically have said I'm not talking about it anymore because I got tired of arguing about it. But I agree with what you said. We'll leave it at that. And plus a bunch of other things that you left out that I can easily complain about.
Yes.
But it's all in the forum. Anybody wants to go to forums.thedollarbin.net, they can go read whatever I have to say. If you want to argue with me, I'm not responding anymore. I'm done talking about it. Apparently,
I'll argue with you. Please.
Apparently, before season 2 starts, there will be a Dollar Bin show on the Walking Dead TV series, and they're making me do it. So if you want to listen to that in a couple months,
boy.
Then
maybe I'll send a pre-recorded fucking message.
Tiring.
You can just hit play.
I'll sample it out so that when they make an argument, I'll be like, "Well, Flacco says," and I agree with them. Click. It was stupid for that fucking key to fall down that little drain in slow motion. That didn't make any sense at all. Anyway,
but you know, it's you know, it's you know, I fucking love comics, man. You know, I fucking it's you know. It's the, you know, the most unique fucking art form, you know, like jazz and comics, man. You know, those are like two of like, you know, well, the only like American fucking art forms that like ever were. You know what I mean? I just think comics has, you know, the potential. And you know, we were talking about like
that's
a mini
fucking funny.
No, it's truth.
Well, we did the interview of Neil Adams. He actually was talking about jazz and comics and how the French ruined both of them. So that reminded me of that. He like does this whole story about the French ruining jazz and comics.
That's hilarious, but, man. Yeah. But you know, I just you know, it's important to me that, you know, people don't think that like I'm some sort of curmudgeon that just fucking like, you know,
That's why we started out positive, right?
Yeah, that's why we started out positive. But you know, sort of. I didn't bring up Robert Kirkman. I just want to throw that out there. I was happy talking about Jonathan Hickman.
It's the lack of the balance. I just needed to get that out there. I think our show needed it. Now there's two things that I was kind of had an idea of where I wanted to go next, that since we got you, but you kind of changed my mind. And what I want to talk about is something I rarely ever get to talk about because I'm the only person on the show that reads books like this. But let's talk Avatar.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Nobody
else. For a
second,
I thought you meant the movie. I was like, really?
Never seen it. Let's not talk about that.
Have you ever seen Dances with Wolves? Ever seen The Last Samurai? It's pretty much exactly that.
Let's talk Avatar books.
Yeah, sure.
Because nobody else reads any Avatar except for me. Yeah. Everybody always gives me shit because I read books with babies getting eaten and
that's insane.
Stuff like
insane.
That.
You know, we're number one, we're adults. You know what I mean? So, you know, I like books that are like geared towards adults, you know. You know, as far as my comic book experience, you know, kind of goes, you know, I mean, I moved to Virginia Beach a couple years ago in the area. Technically, I moved to Norfolk, which is a little bit cooler place to live, by the way. You know, I had gone around to comic book shops, you know, and just trying to like feel out the vibe and, you know, see, making sure that like, you know, just seeing what these places had to offer, you know, and you know, I don't want to go to a comic shop where there's a ton of kids playing like games, you know, and selling Pokemon. And, you know, I'm not interested in action figures. You know what I'm saying? I'm not interested in, there's not a place for any of that stuff. You know, of course there is, you know, but the comic shop I go to is a place called Local Heroes,
in Norfolk, and it's definitely the best comic shop that I've ever been to. Sorry, Phil at Acme, you know, but you know,
Phil's not listening.
It's
to this.
Yeah, clearly he's not. But you know, but it's definitely like, you know, there's no toys, you know what I mean? There's no, you know, it's you know, it's a shop that's like, it's certainly not geared for adults, you know what I mean? But you know, there's no games, there's no Pokemon, there's no Yu-Gi-Oh, there's no, you know, no D&D nights, no nothing like that, man. Matter of fact, he throws like parties, like, you know, like 4 or 5 times a year that are actually like fantastic, you know?
Yeah,
bring alcohol and stuff, and it's adults come, you know what I mean, and we all hang out and we have fun, and you know, we had a great like Halloween party, you know, I dressed up like Captain America, but I actually fucked up my shield and I didn't do the extra red ring in there, so it's actually like an incorrect, I had
an accurate yourself,
yeah painted on cardboard, but I guess you know, that's sort of you know, I am, you know, 33 years old, you know, and I want to read stuff that appeals to me, you know, and you know, I have, you know, one of the reasons I like something like, you know, The Ultimates is like, it's like Marvel Comics, but borderline like R-rated. You know what I mean? Like this stuff is like intense, and it's like, you know, the drama is, you know, high, and you know, sometimes it, you know, the word fun gets thrown around a lot, like in comics, you know, and stuff like that. You know, sometimes to me, fun equals lazy. You know, like I think, you know, like, you know, it would just be easier if we made it a little sillier over here, or just be easier if, you know, like this wasn't quite as, you know, like thought out or whatever. But, you know, like books, you know, a publisher like Avatar, you know, is publishing books for me, you know, they're publishing books for, you know, adults that are like interested in, you know, in you know, challenging, you know, you know, shocking, you know, sometimes difficult to read stuff, you know. Correct me if I'm wrong, are they not putting out Neonomicon? Are they not putting out they're putting out Alan Moore's new comic. Anybody ever heard of Alan Moore? Anybody ever heard of anybody that doesn't like Avatar comics ever heard of that guy? What about Warren Ellis? Anybody ever hear of him? What about Garth Ennis? I would say that, you know, anyone that believes that a company that publishes writers like that, you know, has anything less to offer than like among the best comics that are being published, you know, like, is clearly ignorant. Like clearly you have not read these books, you know, like, it's not about being dark. It's not about being awful. It's not about being like horrible. You know what I mean? But if you're going to read a story about zombies, right? Robert Kirkman's stories are for pussies, and Garth Ennis's books, The Crossed, are the most terrifying zombies that have ever existed in the history of the world.
Now, period. The latest has been David Latham.
And he's done a great job. And his story has been like even...
It's been more fucked up than Garth Ennis's.
It's even like, been even more shit, fucked how, up. Like, and you know, and the thing about it is, you know, but that's not... You know, the appeal isn't like, like how crazy can you go? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, you know, the appeal is that like this is... You know, these are horror comics. These are horrifying things that are happening. You know?
Yeah.
And like, you know, have you read the first couple issues of Neonomicon?
I read the first one.
Oh my god, dude! The second issue is just one of the most disturbing things I've ever read in my life. You know what I'm saying?
I read the preview that came out like 6 months ago, and then like it was like preview six, and then 6 months later, and the comic's coming out, and I was like, "Fuck, I need to remember." And I just slipped. I never read it.
I'm shaking my head because you know, the second issue of Neonomicon is just one of the most disturbing things I've ever read in my life. You know, but the, you know, this isn't, you know, this is it's great. It's brilliant stuff. You know, like, they're not going to make a fucking movie like this. What other medium are we going to get this? You know, where else are we going to see this kind of stuff? You know, Avatar also publishes the book Gravel, which I think is like one of the most underrated books on the planet Earth. You know what I mean? Like, I think of the, from the Strange Killing stuff to, you know, to now, I think Gravel is one of my favorite books, one of my favorite characters. Some of just like the coolest, most innovative ideas, you know, about a combat magician, an SAS combat magician. You know what I mean? Like, just, you know, so many things. I think, I'm also going to throw this out there that I'm not 100% sure, but I think Avatar just put out a book called Super God, which is also written by Warren Ellis, which is another like completely brilliant, you know, kind of take on the superhero genre. Almost like, you know, if these people existed and they had no intentions of like helping us at all, you know, and really just kind of ruining the world, but in that sort of Warren Ellis way that just, like, you know, just sparks your imagination, you know. And that's, you know, that's what all this is about, you know, is like, you know, going to places that we've never been and seeing things that we've never seen and, you know, being, you know, kind of entertained in ways that we've never been entertained before. And, you know, Avatar is a place where these guys can put these books out, not be scared, you know, wolfskin, what, you know, if, you know, there's no point in reading Conan. Like, don't even bother reading Conan. Because if you want to read a book about, you know, the baddest motherfucking barbarian on the planet, eat wolfskin. And by the way, if nobody knows, Captain Swing and the Electric Pirates is, like, one of the coolest fucking concepts / comic books I have ever read in my life, man. You know, I'm not saying every single thing that the Avatar publishes is great, but the collection of people they have working on these books is, you know, it's the elite in comics. And anyone that would have any sort of, like, problem with this, I would like you to come here now, and I would like to slap you in your face. You know, like, if the stuff is, like, too much for you, if the stuff is, like, too graphic for you, you know, if you're just not interested in that kind of stuff, that's fine. That's fine. But don't tell me you like The Walking Dead. You know what I mean? Don't tell me that you like zombie stuff. Don't tell me you like horror stuff. So, you know what I mean? Because you have no idea. You have no idea. You know what I mean? Like, you know, the amount of genres that Avatar has, like, you know, put out and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not the biggest fan of everything. I think, you know, I think Dr. Sleepless is a very, very confusing book that I don't really, understand.
That's the thing. I really like, you know, Dr. Sleepless, and it just stopped, and I've been kind of pissed. I enjoyed it. Now, it took some weird turn.
It's just weird.
It started out, like, with the one story, and all of a sudden it turned into another story. But I've enjoyed reading it, and I don't think I'm ever going to see an issue with that again. That's the only problem with a lot of – well, that's, you know, that's the whole Warren Ellis, I'm not writing this book, I'm moving on to something else, right, even though I haven't finished this one shit.
Right.
But, I mean, yeah, like, I just went and grabbed all my Avatar. I grabbed, like, one of each, so I could throw them out there to see what they were. You actually got me started. I think the first Avatar book I ever read was – it was either I borrowed an issue of Black Gas from you, or it was Wolfskin. I can't remember. It was one of the, probably around the same time when I read those. And that's when I started reading Avatar.
Yeah. Wolfskin was the first time I ever saw Juan Jose Reap.
Holy shit.
I know, dude. I know. Yeah. You think Avatar. You know what I mean? Like, you know, that guy. Jeez Louise. He's a monster. He's like Jeff Darrow's awesome little cousin. You know what I mean? Like, he's ridiculous.
I didn't get a chance to meet him. He was at New York Comic Con.
He's a dick, man.
Oh, is he?
No, I have no idea. I can only imagine.
Like,
no.
Well, like, Avatar.
If I could draw that good, I'd be such a dick to everybody in the world.
At the Avatar booth was super nice.
I'm sure.
And like, they had, like, it was the first time I've ever seen all those guys. Like, I got to meet Mike Wolfer. He did that sketch.
No, Mike Wolfer's great.
He was so nice, man. He was so nice to talk to. He's really excited because he's writing a lot more now.
Just to throw this out here right quick, I know Mike Wolfer does a ton of work in Gravel, and I know he co-writes with Warren Ellis, so I didn't mean to just imply that only Warren Ellis is responsible for, like, how awesome Gravel is, because Mike Wolfer clearly,
like, the
is
last
also
story
responsible.
The last story arc,
like,
was written by Mike Wolfer.
Yeah, and it was just emotionally, when the last issue of Gravel came out, you know what I mean?
And actually, like, I was thinking the last story arc of Wolfskin was written by Mike Wolfer, is what I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah.
The last story arc.
Okay.
Mike Wolfer, he's really excited because he's I guess he's writing the Night of the Living Dead book now, and also he's co-writer on, I don't know, what's that Polito book? It's not Lady Death,
I try to avoid Brian Polito books at all costs.
So anyway, he's co-writer on that now too, and he's excited about that. But I have one issue of it, because he's like, when I went and I met him, I was like, man, I wish I didn't have anything to get signed. He was like, oh, well, here's the free copy of, you know, Lady Death or whatever the hell it is.
Oh, wow.
And he signed it for
me. That's super cool. No, that's
so
awesome.
And I read it. And I don't know anything about the character, but.
Lady Death?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Nobody
but
cares.
He was excited about it. That's cool, though. Because he's an artist that gets to write,
right,
you know?
Right, right. But by nobody cares, I mean, I don't
no,
care.
No, I know.
But that's either. Something that the Lady Death comics
Brian.
Earned.
I don't read any,
you know, by chaos producing nothing but awful shit for years and years and years and years. So, like, you know, they earn every bit of, like, you know, like, like, eye rolling that the Lady Death character, you know, like gets.
Rings.
But, yeah. Yeah. You know, so
But, you know, Avatar is just like this place where you can just, you know, these guys can do anything. Let me say this again. Let me just throw this out there again. It's just so you didn't hear me. Alan fucking Moore writes for Avatar. You know, that's how well put together this company is. You know what I mean? Like, Alan fucking Moore. Okay, and he put out a book called "The Courtyard" through them, which is also like completely awesome, like sort of a weird prequel to this. You know, like I didn't, of course, like you don't know it's a prequel. You know, to this, but you know, I guess it is. But you know, you know, just you know, I think they're, I think Avatar is a phenomenal comic book publisher, and you know, I just want to, you know, keep seeing more stuff by, you know, I ain't scared to like read some like R-rated shit, you know what I mean? I ain't scared to read stuff that's like, you know, hey, this isn't for your fucking kids, man. You know, this isn't for your fucking children. This is for this is for us. This is for grown ass people, man.
Did you read Fever Dream?
I did not read Fever Dream. Tell me about it.
Okay, so Fever Dream is it's a book about, it's basically a vampire story that takes place on riverboats back during like the riverboat days, because like the whole idea that vampires can't cross water and stuff like that, and it's I don't know, it's one of those books that changes feel a lot, like the story's about one thing, but the fucking main characters in this book like fucking lose every time. Like every time you're like, oh shit, fuck, and then that's the end of the chapter, and then the next chapter is them trying again, and it's just like, that hurt a little. But it comes to like the whole, it's not like all rosy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a good story. They develop the characters well. You care about them, and then they fucking fail.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, and this stuff, you know what I mean? Like, you know, these characters can die.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, Wolfskin could die in the next issue, and that wouldn't surprise me. Gravel could eat it in the fucking next issue,
Every time I read Gravel, like, I think he's gonna.
It's scary. You know, I'm emotionally invested in this man. You know what I mean? And how fucking, like, the last issue I read just broke my heart, and I just, you know, I know I was talking to Adam about it. I just hope to God it's not the last issue. You know what I mean? Like, please don't be the last issue.
I think there's got to be more.
If it was the last issue, like, I wasn't prepared. You know, like, somebody needed to say, Flacco, you're about to read the last issue of Gravel, so just like, you know, like, it's not gonna end well, you know, like,
well, I think, like, definitely, like I was saying, like, with Mike Wolfer helping out on that, and Warren Ellis, it's probably the longest running Warren Ellis book out there. I mean, he's with Strange Kisses and all that stuff. I would guess that he's not, that's
certainly
probably,
like, creator-owned stuff, I think, you know, from not a Marvel or DC, you know what I mean? I think it's definitely like, possibly, I think he's worked on the longest.
Yeah, I mean,
it's one of the bigger companies.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see him stopping that. And like, even like with Wolfskin coming back, that was cool.
Jesus Christ, I have the worst indigestion ever. I apologize.
Do you want some more Pepto?
No, I took two of them. They're really hard to swallow. You know?
Want me to get you her bottle?
No, no, man. She drinks out of it. Ugh, that's gross. I don't know where her lips have been, but I have an idea. And I don't want my lips to touch in the same place. No,
definitely
anybody that, you know,
excited. Are you reading the Chronicles of Wormwood right now?
No. Wormwood is something that I missed a couple issues of and then never just got back into it, you know. I know, it's silly. That was a book that just,
that's the only one that Chronicles of Wormwood I'm looking at, like, and a couple of these other ones get read, cuz there's a couple guys that really like dig Warren Ellis, and they'll read, I think, like The No Hero and
No
Black
Hero.
Summer and stuff like
No
that.
Hero's
Chronicles
great.
Of Wormwood.
Actually, No Hero's great.
What?
No Hero is great. I really love No Hero.
That was weird, man.
Yeah, it is. It's just like.
And, well, that's the Juan
No
Jose.
Heroes.
Juan Jose Rip,
No
man.
Hero,
I
mean, dude.
He, Wormwood is probably the only one. Like, I share that with Devin. Like, Devin really loves Chronicles of Wormwood, so I get to share that with him. So it's okay that you didn't read. I'll share it with Devin.
No, I'll say that, you know. Warren or Garth Ennis, you know, I think is capable of doing some of the greatest stuff I've ever read in my life, you know. So I, you know, sometimes you know, like the first stuff that I read about Wormwood, you know, seemed a little fun, and I'm throwing those words out. You know what I mean? A little funner than like I would, you know. It's like, oh, well, let's have him have a best friend rabbit that talks, you know. And Jesus is a black homeless guy with brain damage, and you know what I mean. Like it's, you know, it's kind of throw this shit together. You know what I mean? And, you know, I'm not suggesting that, you know what I mean, because I haven't kept up with it. You know, and this is what I'm saying. If I haven't read shit, you know, I'm not gonna bitch about it. You know what I mean? Like, but you know, so I don't know too much about the Chronicles of Wormwood, but you know,
it's pretty solid. You care about the characters.
I'm sure that, you know, it's solid. You know what I mean?
It's definitely like, okay, when I first started reading it, okay, you look at Preacher and how solid of a story Preacher is and how kind of fucked up it is here and there.
Yeah.
It looks like with Chronicles of Wormwood, he takes a lot of the God stuff, the fucked upness of it, takes it three steps further, and as you say, makes it more fun. Right. like it definitely, that's right, what it's like.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, I'm not saying that I feel this way about Wormwood because I don't know enough about Wormwood. Yeah. But you know, like a book like The Boys.
Yeah.
I
just finished reading The Boys.
I don't like The Boys. I do not like The Boys. I know that Garth Ennis hates superheroes, you know. So it's like, you know, it's just like this, you know, every issue is just like this fuck fest of like how stupid superheroes are and blah, blah, blah. It's like, I love superheroes. Like, you know, it's not that I don't mind, you know, how dare you make fun of superheroes, Garth Ennis,
like,
you know what I mean? But
I don't
it's just
think
like,
that's what it is, though.
You don't?
No, because, and that's what I thought it was going to be. And I hadn't read The Boys. I'd been like, I'm not reading it. I don't, I'm not interested. And I read some over the top shit, right. And that's not. But like, I borrowed it from Ted because he had a lot of them. He had them on trade, and I read them. And there's a plot. It's a good plot. I thought that, you know, yeah, it is like superheroes are fucked up, but it shows that not all of them are. It shows, you know.
I didn't get to any of that. All I got to was what a stupid group of idiot superheroes are.
But it's like it's not just. You know, it's like it's not just people that are superheroes. I mean, like, obviously, like, there's this whole, like, power behind the superheroes. There's a reason that they exist. You know, a lot of them were made. They're man-made superheroes that are given false backstories.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's like okay. It's basically like saying, like, the Superman character in The Boys. Like, his story is, you know, he's an alien that fell to the planet in a ship. But really, he was grown in a lab, and then they fucking set that whole thing up to make it look like he was like an outsider.
Right.
So it's like they give him this backstory. It actually has a lot more plot and a lot more detail than I thought it would.
Yeah.
And I've been happy with it. I didn't buy any of them. So I don't know if that made a difference.
Yes. No, sometimes it does.
But I did borrow them and read them all.
But no, that's cool.
I thought it was solid. I didn't think I was going to like it.
A couple, you know, I tried to give The Boys a couple issues I feel like it was just a big, like, fuck you to the superheroes. Not that they don't deserve it. You know what I mean? Absolutely.
Well, I borrowed,
certainly
like,
a place
like,
for
like
fuck
seven
you superheroes,
trades or something,
you know, like,
I read.
You know, considering, you know, that they're not, that there's, you know.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, the most popular genre among comic books, but you know, it's just, you know, Garth Ennis isn't necessarily, you know, like always, you know, like on point for me, you know, and I was a little scared of Wormwood, you know, to be like that, but you know, sometimes, you know, I try to give people 2-3 issues, you know what I mean, and like, you know, just, you know, I sometimes I'll, you know, when I read a great comic, it's almost like instant.
Yeah,
you know, and it's like the first words I read, all of a sudden it's just like everything fades out. You know what I mean? And like I'm just like in here, you know. And then I just like, you know, page after page, you know, it's, you know, I'm just, you know, trying to soak everything. You know what I mean? It just sort of like just happens, and I'm just like drawn into this, and it's like beyond my control. Like I can't help it. You know what I'm saying? Like I am just like, this is so fucking good. You know, like as I'm reading it, you know what I mean? And then like it's over, I'm just like, son of a bitch, you know what I mean? Like, oh, another one, you know? Like, you know? So, you know, you give somebody 3 issues of a fucking comic and they can't, like, do that for you, you know what I mean? Like, chances are that, like, you know, it's not worth it. But, you know, I compare it a lot of times to, like, you know, television series where, like, the first 2 or 3 seasons are just, like, unwatchable now, you know what I mean? Compared to, like, you know, what they were, you know? And,
yeah.
So, you know, I try to give stuff a chance, you know what I mean? Try to give, you know, J. Michael Straczynski's Superman, you know, run a chance, but what a fucking goddamn, like, cliche, fucking pathetic turd of a fucking run that was. That's something else entirely, but who puts out The Boys?
I don't remember. Dynamite knows.
Dynamite,
yeah. It used to be Image, I think.
Really?
And then they dropped it, and then Dynamite picked it up, I think, is what happened.
Cool. But please, if you do not like, you know, Avatar, you know, as a publisher, you know, I would love to meet you and slap you in the face.
is there anything that you, like, okay, and I know you're gonna kind of give a blanket answer to this, but like, okay, you want somebody to give an Avatar book a chance.
Yeah,
it's somebody who may, you know, react like dead babies and stuff. But is there any kind of what book? That would you say?
Well,
that,
I would say
that would be an easy entrance without scaring somebody away.
Well, I mean, it's you know, you gotta
be open to,
yeah. I mean, you got your themes. This is R-rated shit. Mm-hmm. This is R-rated shit. So it's like, you know, if you're not into that, then you're not gonna be into this stuff. Yeah. You know. Also, as I'm looking at these titles out here, yeah, there's not a fucking one of them that you could really just like hand somebody that's like, I don't really like, you know, like violent, horrible, awful shit, you know, because it's just like, you know, I mean, Dr. Sleepless, maybe there's not a ton of violence.
Yeah, but
in
I think
Dr.
that
Sleepless.
Would just bore them out. You know, I think people,
you know,
would get bored out.
Little,
it's heavy,
little strange,
thought.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, puzzles. I mean, I, you know, character wise, you know, I, you know, I've said a million times, you know, Gravel's great. I think I'll tell you what. Yes, I'll tell you what. I do have a suggestion. Captain fucking Swing and the Electric Pirates. Yeah. Only two issues have come out.
Yeah,
and they're
okay,
just like
good.
Two of the funnest.
Oh, thank God.
You know, just great. You know, I'm so excited. I can't wait for another one to come
it's
out.
It's funny because like I was gonna ask you. That was gonna be one of the questions I was gonna say. I was gonna be like, all right, Flacco, you talk highly about Captain Swing. Now, from what I recall, I only bought two issues and then I stopped.
Yes.
What can you tell me to keep me reading it?
So
and then, so like that's
long
what it was. There's only been
issues,
two issues.
Man.
Okay, good. Because I was like,
sucks,
fuck, I only
dude.
Remember reading two issues,
yeah,
man.
No,
I had to drop it for a reason. Why did I drop it? No, that's not. I didn't drop it. Okay, good.
But that book is. is you know, that book is on its way to being.
Did you read Super God?
I did.
I loved
Super God.
Yeah, I didn't think I was going to like it. The first issue, I was like, I don't know where this is going.
I thought every character was like, you know, like super well thought out. You know what I mean? And like these beings that are created like as super, you know, like they make sense to the countries that they're from. You know what I mean? And the worlds they live in, and you know. I thought it was brilliant, dude. I thought the end is fucking brilliant. You know, like it's, you know, it's like, again, it's kind of a downer.
Dude, they sent me to kill you, but let's just be friends. And
but
all of a sudden,
dude. But there's just like, there's so much weird, like yeah, there's so much weird stuff, like yeah, like the Morgana Lucas. You know what I mean? And the you know the thing made of mushrooms and three astronauts,
the spores and
you know, and you know, being around it just makes you want to have sex with anything in front of you. You know what I mean? Like uncontrollably. You know, it asks a lot of like kind of big questions and stuff like that, you know, about like, how do you change the world? How do you save the world? You know, like, like, you know, these people were around, would they help us? What are their motivations? What do they care about? You know, like, you know, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was great. You know, Streets of Glory, you know what I mean? It's a Western, you know, it's kind of weird Western, you know what I mean? Like I think it's Garth Ennis and Mike Wolfer, right?
Yeah. And that's
pretty,
I mean,
violent.
Kind of,
you know,
Jonah Hex-ish, maybe.
I try not to compare anything that's good to Jonah Hex. So
I've been liking Jonah. I've been reading.
Yeah,
okay.
I've not been reading Jonah Hex.
Yeah, yeah. It's just
he's just always been such a weird secondary character to me that, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
I just never really quite understood.
I think like Justin Gray and June Palmiotti have been writing it. And right. I think that that's one of the most solid books they've been able to write.
I have
it's all one shots basically.
No interest in like fucking Jimmy Palmiotti's like, you know, writing work. You know, I don't know who Justin Gray is, but you know, like
they write everything together.
Yeah, well, they are not an exciting pair for me. You know, like they don't get me jazzed, but you know,
yeah. I think if you read some Jonah Hex, I think you'd like it.
I bet there's other stuff, you know, in there. Yeah, absolutely, yeah, man.
It'd be
asinine of me to completely dismiss something that I've like never fucking, you know, really given a good chance.
The first issue of Jonah Hex I read, I was like, it was okay. And then five issues went, four issues went, and then somebody wrote like a review on one. And I was like, well, I'll get this one. And I read it, and I was like, you know what, that was pretty good. I'll read the next one. And then, I mean, from then on, like, my collection's like, I haven't missed an issue. And it's solid stories.
Yeah.
So some of them are stronger than others, but because they're all one-shots,
right?
You know,
right.
It's always a fresh start for a good story the next go-around.
No, that's good. That's a cool, smart way to write a comic. You know, especially, you know, when you don't know, you know, how long that book's going to be around. You know?
I think it's going to hang in there.
You think so?
I think it will.
Good. Good.
I think they've been doing solid.
Hopefully, you know, Jonah Hex will run forever, and thankfully, Thor the Mighty Avenger gets canceled. So there is no God. I think that's a pretty clear indication of that. So
Thor the Mighty Avenger. That's a book we talk about a lot. So this is something that, you know, like where you and I, like, I've been kind of focusing on what you can bring to the show that the rest of us don't. But let's talk Thor the Mighty Avenger a little. We'll kind of close it up with that.
Please.
Bring it all together.
Bring it all back in. Sure.
So Thor the Mighty Avenger, it went like 8 issues. It was a 12-issue arc, I believe. They're not getting their last 4 issues. Sucks ass because everybody I've ever talked to that has read that book has loved it. And I mean, you and I just finished talking about fucking Avatar.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
R-rated stuff.
And now we're talking about Thor the Mighty Avenger.
Yeah.
And again, it comes down to being well written.
Yes.
That's what it comes down to.
Yes.
It doesn't
matter
if it's R-rated or if it's kid friendly.
Exactly.
Or family friendly or whatever the hell.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't read fucking Thor the Mighty Avenger and think to myself, this is really an all ages book. You know what I mean? I think this character seems like a real person that, like, really gives a shit, and you know what I mean? And I like Thor's girlfriend, and, like, she's fantastic. she's like, totally cute and, like, a real girl, like, a real person, you know what I'm saying? And you know, and the sort of, you know, melding of, you know, the superhero mythology with this, like, really down-to-earth story, you know, about these, like, you know, kind of two people that just kind of find each other, you know, like, literally, you know what I mean? Kind of find each other, you know what I'm saying, from, like, different worlds and kind of, like, you know, start to, you know, fucking, you know, slowly fall in love with each other, you know what I'm saying? And then in the meantime, this guy is sort of trying to figure out, you know, he's got, like, memory issues and isn't exactly sure, like, you know, why the hell he's here, you know, or what the hell is up. And it's not, you know, and one of the things I loved about it is it's like they don't give a shit about continuity. Like, they don't give a rat's ass. Like, like, screw that. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Screw having to worry about what's going on in, like, Avengers.
Roger Langridge was at SPX last fall. Yeah. And we did an interview with him. We talked to him about Thor the Mighty Avenger. Sean and Heather actually did. We have two girls on our show now.
Two girls?
They were fucking balanced out.
Wow.
So they interviewed Roger and talked to him about Thor the Mighty Avenger because they fucking both love it. And again, they're like, Heather's favorite stuff to read is, like, we also have two black guys on the show now.
Wow. Well,
that's just a bunch of white guys in a Puerto Rican anymore.
A lot has changed since I've been here last.
So anyway, they both, their favorite stuff, like, Heather's favorite stuff to read is, like, Buffy, Thor the Mighty Avenger, Tiny Titans, like, Pet Avengers. Like, she likes really fun Beasts of Burden. Just kind of
Beasts of Burden.
Yeah.
I don't think should be lumped in with Tiny Titans.
No. It's completely different.
Because Beasts of Burden is something very special.
It is.
And
absolutely.
Okay,
but
cool.
I was mainly the cuteness.
I know what you're saying, and I apologize.
I feel the need to just tell everyone
how good Beasts of Burden is.
Beasts of Burden is amazing. Okay. Everything about that book is amazing.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's the cuteness factor that
I was focusing on. I apologize.
So
I'm derailing.
so they love Thor the Mighty Avenger. Interviewed Roger Langridge he always thought of himself as a artist who wrote so that he could draw.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
And he said that basically in the interview that he feels like he kind of got tricked into being a writer. You know? Kind of. And for Thor the Mighty Avenger, and he doesn't know anything about continuity of Thor.
Great,
you know, like
yeah.
he's writing this book. It's out of continuity, and I think that's what makes it so great.
Yeah,
I mean, he obviously did some research.
Yeah, sure,
but,
sure.
But
yeah.
Like, as far as what's currently going on,
yeah,
doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. No,
and
not
that's
at all.
That's what he went. That's what
and
he
it's
made.
So much more accessible. And you know, I am a huge fan of the Fraction. Run
Thor?
on Thor, you know.
Yeah.
I think it's fucking great, you know. It's like epic and huge. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You know, I mean, it's, you know, world shattering, you know what I mean? Every, you know, the world is about to be destroyed and every issue and everything is building up like super intense and, you know, blah, 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 you know? And that's great. That's great for Thor. I love that. Yeah. That's the super epic godly Thor stuff. But it's just like, this book right here is mm-hmm. also Thor. And mm-hmm. it's also like just as fucking good. And, you know, it's probably even more accessible to like a wider audience, you know what I'm saying, than like, you know, the crazy ass weird, you know, elephant trolls that, you know, show up in yeah. Matt Fraction stuff all the time. And I love Pasquale Ferry and I love his designs yeah. and, you know, like I'm like I said, you know, I'm a huge fan, but, you know, yeah, between Pasco, those so. Two books, you know what I mean, like I think there's like this, you know, there's like a view of you know, a range of this character, you know what I'm saying, that just like goes so much farther than, you know, he ever really has been before. You know, it's like you know, I mean, clearly everyone, they're gearing up for the movies that's coming out, you know what I mean, and clearly yeah. that's, you know, what they're doing. But, you know, I think it's just, you know, I don't really give a fuck, you know what I mean, like how much that, money that yeah. that movie or that comic book is or isn't making. Yeah. You know, it's so good that, like, you know, Marvel should be proud to publish that comic book, you know what I mean? Yeah. And if, you know, and if there's some issues, then, you know what, you know, get rid of some of, you know, your shittier stuff. Get rid of you know, that Carnage miniseries, you know what I'm saying, like get rid of, you know, like there's plenty of stuff where you can, like, you know, don't sure. make this anymore, so that we can have like this, like, really good thing that's like yeah. you know, I think it's a really special book, man. You know, like, I could kind of give a shit about Thor, you know, and mm-hmm. before Matt Fraction started writing Thor, you know, I really didn't care too much for Thor, you know. I mean, I read a little bit, you know, kind of when he came back, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, and that stuff was okay, you know, sort of like, you know, resetting everything in like Brock's Oklahoma.
It was Straczynski,
yeah. yes. And, you know, and as usual, you know, like, you know, he can start off strong yeah, sometimes, yeah. you know what I mean? But he always peters out. He always fails at the end. Every comic book that J. Michael Straczynski ever writes, he fucks up the end of. Like, no doubt.
He fucked up
the beginning of his Superman run, by the way. But,
anyway. The interesting thing of this Straczynski Thor is that Straczynski, like, it started solid. And it was going well. But, like, during the Straczynski Thor, the Matt Fraction one-shots were coming out. And it's like, you would read, like, the Straczynski Thor, and you're like, yeah, this is pretty good. And then you would read Matt Fraction one-shot, and you'd be like, holy shit, that was awesome. And then, like, the next issue, you'd be reading a Straczynski Thor, and you'd
was
be
that
like...
Was that the one that
like
had,
did,
like...
the blood of...
Where it had, like different eras of Thor, yeah, because yeah. The mythology
there's, like,
of Thor
of
is that it all? It's all a circle?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Fraction did all those. There's, like, three of them.
What did you call it? The big thing made of, like, blood? The big... There was ones there, like, a big giant machine just made yeah. of dead bodies or something? Yeah, that shit was awesome, dude. That yeah. shit was, like, epically great, dude.
So that was coming out the same time as Straczynski.
Was it?
Yeah, because they were one-shots. And they were coming out, and then, like, the whole time I'm like, dude, I hope Matt Fraction picks yeah. up Thor after this. You know? And it's like, the whole time you read Straczynski, you're like, this is okay, but, man, I can't fucking wait yeah. until maybe Matt Fraction picks this up.
Yep. Real briefly, I just want to throw out there that a fellow by the name of Kieran Gillen.
Gillen.
He's very good.
He's British.
I
met him in New York.
He's very good.
Really nice guy.
And, you know, I think he has the potential to kind of, like, be, like, you know, Hickman Fraction, you know what I mean? Like, a go-to kind of guy, man, because the stuff I've read from him has been, yeah. like, great. And he did a super amazingly awesome fucking, like, punk rock story at the mm-hmm. first issue of the CBGB comic that came out.
Yeah.
Like, it was like a Christmas Carol. Yeah. And that shit was great, man. Goddamn, props to you for making the best story that, like, that comic book had. That shit was fucking just such an awesome history of, like, you know, punk rock and CBGBs in general, and fucking, like, yeah. you know, just done in a super clever way, you know, and just
the
fantastic.
Interesting thing about
great
Kieran
stuff, man.
Is,
he's down with the punk rock, so I fucking like that guy a lot.
Well, like, the interesting thing about Kieran is, he's British. And he nailed that CBGB book, you know?
Yeah.
But he had a book out. Oh, fuck. I'm drawing a blank.
Sure. Well, the first thing that I can remember, like, his name being attached to was, like, the Sword series, which, like, I had no fucking interest in at all. And in, like, you know, the first two issues, I thought they were fucking totally spot on. I thought they were totally solid, man. I was super interested, you know, and, like, you know, like, I met these characters, some of these characters, like, super briefly, and all of a sudden, you know, they're you know, I like this dude, and, you know, this strange, like, terrier looking four-armed alien who has to, like, keep these, you know, other aliens, like, you know, occupied for a few minutes, you know, while they're trying to, like, find some shit going. You know, it was like, super fun, like, plot stuff, you know, that was just, you know, really great. And, you know, I know he just did a run on of Thor right before Fraction came on that Doug Braithwaite drew.
Yeah,
who's
yeah.
fucking brilliant. You know what I mean? That run was fantastic. Like, I bought it because, like, I just flipped through and I was like, wow, this looks so good. And I read it and it's, you know, it's great.
He did, okay, I drew a fucking blank. Kieran did a book called Phonogram. He did it with Jamie McKelvey.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's yeah. Phonogram?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
man.
So that's why he's, you know, so like, it's interesting to me because where I see like John Hickman did his own thing through Image. Matt Fraction did his own thing through Image. All these guys came from doing independent stuff at Image to writing stories in Marvel. And like you said, Hickman and Fraction both have been like solid.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Kieran's kind of coming from the same world.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
So I think that's he's kind of bringing that same kind of independent thing. But no, yeah, he did Phonogram.
I feel like a fool for not knowing.
And then
that,
Jamie McKelvey's doing a lot of art and backups now too.
But man, dude, I did not
from
did
from
not,
Phonogram
I did
as
not
well.
Realize that's where Kieran yeah. came from.
Yep. It's their independent stuff. They said they're not going to be doing Phonogram anymore because there's no money in it. Basically,
right on.
Well, it's expensive to do.
Back to Thor the Mighty Avenger.
Yes.
Just real quick, you know, so they're canceling this book for some god awful reason, and they're you know, Chris Samney, his stuff is just gorgeous.
I believe I've been corrected before. It's Samney.
Oh, Samney. I'm sorry, Chris Samney. Yeah, I don't really give a shit, dude. Yeah, but, his stuff is just beautiful, and
yeah,
you know,
he's solid.
You know, when it's time to draw like mighty goats, and you know what I mean, chariots, and you know, Heimdall, and you know what I mean, the fucking, you know, whatever, like, you know, I thought the point of the book was supposed to be that it, like, not that it tied directly into the movie, mm-hmm. but that it was like similar, like a fresh start, yeah, mm-hmm. like a fresh start, you know, and like not for nothing, but you know, what's his name, Heimdall. Heimdall, you know, he's a black dude in Thor the Mighty Avenger, just like he's going to be in the movie, even though he's not anywhere else in the Marvel Comics. No problem with that at all. Don't give a shit. Not bringing it up for any other reason, but just to point out that, like, you know, like, I thought it was supposed to be more associated with the movie. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and kind of like, hey, anyone that doesn't want to read 60 years of shitty Thor comics, here's something like completely different, and maybe you can give it to a girl and she'll actually read it. You know
Absolutely,
what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know, which you can't do with, you know, you can't do with
right.
Matt Fraction's Thor because it's, you know, it's
unless
fucking
she's a
superhero
comic reader.
Fucking, you know, it's superhero epicness, you know, and that's great because I love superhero epicness, you know what I mean? But it's just like, you know, these characters have a wider range than that.
Yeah.
You know, these characters, you know, there's more to them than that. And,
like,
it's a shame. It's just
two things about Thor the Mighty Avenger. One, like, I read an article on The Beat or some fucking comic website. And, it's Heidi McDonald, I think, wrote it. She did this whole article on Thor the Mighty Avenger. And, you know, it was titled Who Killed Thor the Mighty Avenger? And like the whole premise is basically she talks about sales and all that stuff and how like everybody always talks about how much they fucking love it. Then if everybody loves it and everybody wants it, why are the numbers low? Is basically what it was.
That's a good question.
So her answer was, you killed Thor the Mighty Avenger.
Yeah.
And I'm looking, I'm like, we're fucking buying it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
I'm getting, you're buying
it. I bought it. Oh, fuck
fucking
yeah,
Heather
you know?
Buys it. Everybody I know that
absolutely
buys it. So where the fuck, like, am I talking to the wrong people?
No, I mean, shops have like completely different dichotomies, man. Mm-hmm. You go to one shop and, you know, books, you know, it's the people that run the shops. It's, you know, it's, you know, how they feel about the books, like what their confidence is in the ordering of these books. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, you know, all that stuff.
You order six copies and they all get bought
up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When you could have ordered 20, you know what I mean? And you know, and I'm not necessarily saying that, you know, that's the case.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah
obviously,
yeah.
obviously,
it's possible. It adds to it.
If it was sold out everywhere, then people would be like ordering more and then we wouldn't have this issue, but you know,
but the thing is, here's the thing though, if it's sold out, unless you know you're looking for it, you don't even know it exists. If it's not on the shelf, you don't know to pick it up.
Very true.
And that's one of the big problems. And like what happens is this is the cross of two things. One, it got ordered less because the comic shop owners saw it as a all ages comic. all ages comics don't sell as well, so you order fewer. But if you order fewer and they're all gone, the people that may come in and buy it aren't going to see it to buy it on the shelf. Now, on the other hand of that, there are like 6 Thor comics on the shelf right now. Yeah. So if you're missing one,
right,
who's going to notice?
Yeah, and honestly, you know, and this is because I have fucking paid for them, bought and paid for them. The only two that are worth reading are Matt Fraction's Thor and Thor the Mighty Avenger.
And
you know,
Hickman?
Fucking Ultimate Thor. Yeah, that's right. Ultimate Thor is coming out. I do. Yes. Sorry, John. That's good too. But there's other stuff. There's you know, Thor, like the Lost Years, and like some sort of Simon Bianchi mess just like, you know, with all these like insanely horrible like redesigns, and you know, Simon Bianchi's a beautiful artist, but he can't design a character for shit, man. Like it's fucking awful, dude. But and you know, I think you're totally honest.
I read a lot of comments, and a lot of people are saying things like, I kept hearing people talk about this Thor book that they really loved. I get to the shop, I see 6 Thor books, I can't remember which one it is.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And like, okay, Roger Langridge is a new name to a lot of people. Like, I was showing you stuff, you weren't really familiar, you saw Fred the Clown, you recognized that.
Yeah, I read Fred the Clown,
But like, you weren't really familiar with who.
Right.
So like, you're not, a lot of people aren't going to buy
books. But I knew Fred the Clown was a great comic, you know what I'm saying?
You were familiar with that.
Yeah.
But like, a lot of people aren't going to go, oh, fuck, Roger Langridge, I'm buying this.
Right.
You know, some people, like, if you read Muppets, you might do it because he was doing all the writing and art on Muppets. If you do, if you're familiar with it, you'll pick it up. Chris Somney, same thing. If you're familiar with Chris Somney, you're like, oh, dude, this guy is badass. I'm going to pick up his stuff if you see it.
I'm not familiar with Chris.
Yeah.
Somney.
Somney.
What else has he done? What else did he do? You know?
Not a lot.
Okay, great.
You know, the reason the reason I'm familiar with Chris Somney is because of Comic Twart, the blog I was telling you about, contribute to.
Yeah.
That's how I know him.
Oh, no shit.
I learned about him there, and I've seen his stuff, and I'm like, you know, I'm looking at this blog, and I'm like, these guys are fucking amazing. And I'm looking at this blog going, these guys, you're going to start seeing some stuff from these guys. And actually, talking to Francesco, I'm totally off topic now, but like, talking to Francesco, he said, or his wife, they said that like, the editors fucking love Comic Twart, because they go there, and they're like, get that guy.
Yeah, sure.
You know? Like, they've gotten so, you've seen every guy that contributes to Comic Twart, their books number has gone way up. Like, wow. Francesco's like maybe doing a book here and there in comics, and now he's doing like 3.
Yeah,
and like Chris Somney's got that. Black he's got another Panther, book coming up, dude. And Francesco Francovia is the only reason I gave fucking Black Panther Daredevil a chance. And it's been all right.
I love the character of Black Panther.
Yeah.
I think he's
I've read a lot of the most underutilized characters. Bad Black Panther.
No, it's no, there has been a lot of bad Black Panther, but you know.
But they're kind of, it looks like
there has been good Black Panther.
They're going back to the Christopher Priest style Black Panther. Is what it looks like they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think they're even doing, I mean, but the Christopher Priest stuff was also like a celebration of like the technology that fucking had all that stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, the Kamoya cards going up walls and shit like that. Like,
yeah.
You know, and this is definitely more like way
detective.
More back down to to the basics, you know? So,
yeah,
so
absolutely,
you know,
yeah.
I'm interested, absolutely. You know, cause you know, to see kind of how all that,
I'm curious at this point.
Yeah, sure. I'll, you know, I'm definitely going to give it, you know, a shot and, you know, just see what happens. You know, I wasn't. So yeah, I haven't been too. You know, Andy Diggle isn't a guy that I think
he's
is
hit
like,
and miss with me.
Yeah, he's okay. You know, I actually thought the premise of Shadowland was actually like great.
I didn't read it at all.
I thought the premise was fantastic, and I thought the execution was like fair. And also, whether it's Billy Tan or Philip Tan, either one of those two guys, I can't stand their art. Both of them. I can't stand either of them. You know what I mean? And I can't remember which one drew Shadowland, but, you know, like when I would read the Andy Diggle issue of Daredevil that corresponded to the issue of Shadowland, like, I thought it was so much better because the art was, like, so much more, like, appealing to me, you know? And then I would read the Tan one. I think it was Billy Tan that did it. And it would just be like, oh, ugh. Plus the ending was just fucking whack. Just fucking so whack. But that's fine because pretty much every ending of every event is just totally whack.
So Chris Somney.
So Chris Somney is fantastic. Yeah. Thor the Mighty Avenger is fantastic. And Marvel Comics, you are morons for canceling such a good book.
One interesting thing, one final interesting thing to add. that so Thor the Mighty Avengers got canceled. That was going to happen regardless. But a couple weeks ago, Roger Langridge, who was doing the writing and sometimes art at this point on Muppets, had posted on his blog that due to like family issues, he had to stop writing Muppets. So he's taking a step back from comics, I think, for a little while to focus on some family trouble that he's having. I don't know how that would have affected Thor the Mighty Avenger. I don't know if maybe it would have kept if he already wrote it all right. And Chris was just doing the art on it at that point. Or I don't know. Maybe he'd had to stop that too. Maybe if Thor the Mighty Avenger didn't get canceled, then he wouldn't have his family issue. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm curious about that. We'll never know because
we
don't know what the issue was. He just said he's having some family stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I wonder if he...
So I don't know. I don't know if it would have kept going or not.
It's got to be... It's just got to be, you know...
So...
It's got to suck to just, you know, to know that you're making something special and to just you know, that you know, people are still buying, you know, Deadpool 4. You know what I mean? Like, that still
never heard exists. A bad word about Thor the Mighty Avenger.
No.
The only people that... I think basically it either came down to you bought it and you loved it, or you didn't even...
Or you didn't give it a chance, mm-hmm. you know, because... Yeah. That's really the only explanation, you know, I can I can really, really think of. Just real quick, I know we're kind of wrapping things up, but everyone in the world should buy every issue of Strange Tales that's ever put out, because it's the best thing that Marvel makes. And
that was the other thing I want to talk about, and I went over to Avatar instead.
No, that's totally fine. That's totally fine. Yeah, yeah. Just real quick, man. You know, like if you want, you know, if you want to see, like, you know, just, you know, like comic book creation at its like. Yeah. Purist and people that aren't being like hounded by mm-hmm. editors and just really like enjoying themselves and making, you know, comics that are totally like, you know, worth reading and fun.
fun and,
you know,
smart.
Strange yeah.
For, yeah.
Genius. You know, the people that have contributed to Strange Tales mm-hmm. are among the comic book elite, and don't ever let anyone, you know, don't ever let anyone confuse you into thinking that superheroes equals comics. That's not the same thing. Superheroes are a genre of comics, which is a medium that can tell any kind of story, any kind of way. You know what I mean? And it's just like I heard somebody talking on NPR the other day, and they had Paul Levitz on there, and they were talking about comic books, but they were talking about superheroes. You know, and I was like, I totally wanted to call up and be like, look, can we please make a distinction between superheroes and comic books? Yeah. It's not the same thing. You know, mm-hmm. like don't say I read are comics. You know what I mean? Like when all you read is, you know,
superheroes.
Yeah, that is something you know, that's you know. It's like saying all I do is watch romantic comedies. You know, that's it. And that's all I think movies are, romantic comedies. Like, I didn't even know you could make a movie that wasn't a romantic comedy. You know, that's you're an idiot. Like, shut up, dude. Like, that's, you know, I'm just throwing that out there right
quick.
Well,
one of the interesting things I want to throw out about Strange Tales, and I have two issues in front of me right now.
Right.
But this is like Strange Tales 2.
Right.
Because Strange Tales, actually, there was most of the stories that were in Strange Tales were done years ago. And I'm saying, like, within the last 10 years, they were, like, scattered all over the place. And then somebody decided to collect them and say, look, we have all this stuff. Let's publish it. So most of it already existed from what I've heard talking to people.
Hmm.
And Strange Tales, they went ahead and they collected all these stories that already existed and published them.
I don't know. I don't know if that's... I don't know how accurate that is, but I don't know how inaccurate it is either.
Yeah, and we'll talk at least some of them.
I've heard some stuff, you know, I don't
wondering if anybody put any dates
that,
on any of their stories, know, but I don't see
I mean, it's
any,
not like I have, like, one of my best friends works at Marvel or anything like that.
We've talked about Jody a lot on the show.
Oh, have we?
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, we're proud of Jody, man. We're proud of Jody, man.
Yeah,
Jody. He was on the show, man.
Jody's a fucking engine.
He was on the show before he was somebody.
Jody's a fucking engine behind Strange Tales, man.
Yeah.
And you know, he...
I'll have to talk to Jody about
it. It's his love
man,
of
shit,
comics.
Earlier I was talking about wanting to do an interview with Jody.
I may be going out
of,
you know, that may, you know, I hope that doesn't get him in any sort of trouble, but you know what I mean? Like I know when I read Strange Tales, you know what I mean? Like, I know that it was, you know, like conventions that we went to and people that we met and comic books that we read, you know what I mean? That just, like, you know, just inspire this stuff to just some of the just greatest.
I mean, Jody is the editor on it, so yeah, I mean that's the editor's job to put it together, right?
I don't know what the fuck won as some sort of like whatever won the anthology or an Eisner last year for best like anthology or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
I can guarantee you wasn't as fucking good as Strange Tales, man.
I don't remember what it was. I don't know. Eisner suck ass.
Care, man. You
know, Eisners are so inaccurate.
You know, that shit is...
Dude, like we were
Strange
talking
Tales
about,
is... Yeah. Bro, Strange Tales is something that you can give to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone, man. Anyone, and they can totally, like, find something in there that's totally fucking awesome, dude. There's a James Stokoe story in there who's doing this book called Orkstein. I know I mentioned it earlier, but the only reason I mentioned it is because of how fucking awesome Orkstein is,
yeah.
How fucking awesome James Stokoe is, you know? And I was just, like, so excited when I saw that. I was like, oh, my gosh! Da, da, da. Well, and it's, like, it's a great story, too. Come on, man. Come on, man. These guys are, you know, don't think that, you know, just because they work for Marvel or DC that, like, you know, these are the only people that are making, like, amazing comics, you know what I mean? Like, they're everywhere, and there's so many fucking talented people that never get a shot to, like, you know, make this kind of, to kind of work for these books. And some people don't even fucking want to. Dude, these people in Strange Tales, these aren't guys that are, like, begging to, like, knocking down the door, you know what I mean? Someone is saying, hey, I would like to invite you to do this, you know, and they can either say, you know, yeah, sure, or they can say no, you know what I mean? Like, but, you know, these aren't people that, you know, are trying to, like, get a job. These are people that are already, like, respected.
Oh, yeah, they're doing their own
Jamie
thing.
Jamie Hernandez brothers. You know,
yeah, I was gonna read something.
You know?
Like I said, like, I only have two issues in front of me, and these are from Strange Tales 2, but I mean, like, it's like, okay, Jeffrey Brown, maybe you've heard of him. I mean, even if you haven't read any of his books, you've probably heard of him.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, like you said, the Hernandez brothers, they're in Paul Hornsmeyer.
Paul Hornsmeyer, people.
Tony Millionaire,
get off your asses. Tony Millionaire,
yeah,
get out of my face, man.
Kate Beaton, who's like, she was all over Heroes Con last year. She did the shirts for Heroes Con and the prints.
Man.
Kate Beaton, Toby Cyrus, like Nick Gerwich, you know?
Raphael Grimpa.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
Alex Robinson. Harvey Picar.
Who's Harvey Picar. You know what I mean? Like, yes.
Ty Templeton. I mean, there's names galore. That's two issues, you know?
Underestimated. Just a ridiculously underestimated book, and more people should be reading it. And that's I just want to throw that out there real quick, because such a good book.
Well, man, thanks, Flacco.
Well, yeah, this has been an absolute pleasure, man. I've always loved doing this stuff. I've always loved talking about comics, man. With you, with everybody, man. I'm definitely one of those people who doesn't get to talk about comics, you know, enough.
As much as
And, you know, so you know, I'm happy to be here, and you know, happy that you know, if anybody likes or dislikes, or should I say, both of those are acceptable responses, you know, for me.
That's the whole point of the show, right?
But yeah, man, as long as you know, the bottom line is we all buy comics, man.
Yeah,
you know, we all buy comics, we all read comics, and we all love comics, man. That's, you know, we
might have different reasons for reading them, but we all do.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely, man. And you know, supporting the industry, and you know, supporting each other, and supporting art, and supporting, you know, our, you know, making friends, and you know, no, I'm serious, man. You know, it's not just you know, the books. You know what I'm saying? There's people involved.
People,
you know,
too.
You know, there's people involved that are just great, wonderful people. You know what I mean? Like, know and be around, and you know what I mean? And you know, it's we all have this stuff in common. You know what I mean? So it's not like, you know, we're not like strangers in a bar that have no idea like what to talk about. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not walking into a lawyer convention or anything like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we all, you know, share, like, you know, passions for this kind of stuff. And I think besides tattoos, you know, what's a cooler art form than comics? You know. Yeah. By the way, I work at Blue Horseshoe in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And if anybody wants a tattoo, feel free to give me a call anytime.
Awesome. So,
yeah, there you go. Personal plug.
And then you got your book out. We'll talk about that another time or something. Maybe
it's not really a book. It's really more of an art project.
Yeah,
You know, but
maybe we'll be seeing some more from you though.
But maybe we'll, man.
Sounds like you're getting a little motivated.
Yeah,
in the
man.
Comic
yeah,
realm.
I haven't made a comic in a while, and I made a comic, and I forgot how much I fucking love I love making comics. I'm a professional tattoo artist, you know, so I'm lucky enough that I get to draw every day and, you know, kind of make money doing it, and you know, it's really, really fantastic, you know. But it's a different, you know, kind of skill set in a lot of ways from you know, making comics. But, you know, just
making art in general, man, you know what I mean? Like, it all just kind of builds, you know what I'm saying? Like, it all just kind of builds on itself. And, you know, I mean, you know, don't just buy comics, make them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Seriously.
No,
like,
no,
I'm
yeah.
dead serious.
I love
you know what
it.
I mean? Like,
I love doing it. I can't draw worth a shit, but man.
Nah, it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter, man. It doesn't matter. We all got stories to tell, man. Yeah. And, yeah, we all want to hear them. So, yeah, thank you very much, Adam, for having me on here, man. It was super fun. And I hope...
I have no idea when this is going to get posted. I know we're recording a show on Monday.
Fantastic.
And that one's probably going to go up on Wednesday. So everybody will be introduced to you after.
Cool.
Or reintroduced to you. Because cool. We got a lot of new listeners who probably have never really heard
the
Flacco.
It's been a long time since I've been here. And, so, you know, just know that I love comics. Just know that I love comics. I'm kind of an asshole, but I really do love comics.
So. Awesome.
Thanks for letting me be here.
Thanks, man.